Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's the Pack a Day Radio Show. See Sparky Pfeiffer in for Andy Herman today. He's a little bit under the weather as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM on 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Joining us now, he is Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers Podcast, the Leap Newsletter. Follow him on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm also a little under the weather, but, you know, I come to work every day.
You sound good, though. You sound all right, so I hope you feel better going into 2025, at least. So I have lots of things to get to, but before we hop into the game, I want...
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to bring up what we were just talking about in the first segment, and that is, did the Packers make a mistake last year in the draft, specifically talking about the first round? Because last year during the draft on social media and afterwards on my afternoon show, Wisconsin Sports Daily, I was talking about the fact that they had every opportunity to move up, to get Mitchell, to get Arnold. They chose not to do it. And in fact, obviously there was a team willing to move because the Lions moved right in front of the Packers to pick before to swipe Terry and Arnold. They stand pack and take Jordan Morgan. And as I've said before, and I'll say again, the only way that is a good pick for the Packers over those two corners is if Morgan ends up being at the same level at left tackle as they are at corners. But if he's at the same level at guard or at right tackle as they are at corners, I'd rather have the corners every day of the week. And right now, Mitchell and Arnold are playing at a high level, and obviously Morgan is watching as this offensive line has been doing its job.
Yeah, you know, the process of the Morgan pick and never sat right with me, even taking out the cornerback part of this, because I never thought Jordan Morgan was left tackle. And I'm not, you know, Brian Gutekunst can say whatever he wants. Yeah, we thought he could play left tackle. No, they drafted Jordan Morgan to play guard for the Packers. Like, let's just be honest about it. And look, the Packers deserve, I think, some level of benefit of the doubt when it comes to offensive line, because they're really the only team that consistently has, you know, think back, like, you can count and remember the players who were the single weak links on offensive lines of the Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love's era, and it's not that many guys. You think back to the Don Barclays and Byron Bells, they have consistently been able to find ways to make these offensive lines work. So they do deserve some benefit of the doubt, but they had the chance forget Quinion Mitchell and Terron Arnold. They had the chance to not even move up and draft Cooper DeJean in the first round. And he has been like a borderline all-pro slot corner for the Philadelphia Eagles, a team that they're probably going to face in the first round of the playoffs. I really like Javon Bullard. He has not been on that level this year. Part of that is they've yanked him around, and he's been a safety one week and a nickel another week. But that, to me, and that was the pick everyone wanted. I mean, how often is the pick that everyone wanted turned out to be the right pick? I think that would have been the right pick. And the Packers, I don't want to say they blew it, but they had an opportunity and they missed it.
Tom and Peter Bukowski again, Locked On Packers podcast. Also, the Leap newsletter that you can get. A very, very good job done that him and Jason Hirschhorn do with the Leap newsletter. All right, let's talk about this this last game here against the Minnesota Vikings. A game that, you know, maybe it meant more to the Vikings, I guess, because they were playing for a one seed. Maybe then it did the Packers, who apparently weren't as nervous about falling to a seven. I would have been, but either way. When we look at this game, it was a lot of shooting yourself in the foot time after time after time in this game. And it feels like that's exactly what happens to this Packers team when they get themselves in big games.
I don't want to make any excuses for them, the youngest team in the league stuff. I think that's foolish. Like, that stuff is over. And it was over this time last year. We saw them last year play well in big games. We saw them come out and take it to the Detroit Lions in Detroit. We saw them come out and take it to the Kansas City Chiefs, who end up winning the Super Bowl, even though at that point they didn't quite look like, you know, the Super Bowl champs. I can't account for this. It doesn't make sense to me that they have it in one of these big games just come out with their hair on fire. Yep. I don't know why. I can't make sense of it. And I wrote about this today over at The Leap, the newsletter you mentioned that I would love for everyone to subscribe to, is this goes deeper. Think back to 2019 when they get absolutely destroyed in Santa Clara by the 49ers. We think about that game as a game where the defense doesn't play. Well, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and Aaron Jones managed zero first half points in that football game. The next year, when Aaron Rodgers is the MVP and one of the best offenses of the decade, they score 10 points against the Bucs, and they're down 21-10 at halftime. This has been a Matt LaFleur problem, frankly, in these big games, and he's got to figure it out. I think Matt LaFleur is one of the best coaches in the league, but this is something that right now is hanging over him. And in one of these big they've had fast starts before, like the Seattle game in 2019. They come out and they're up like 21-3 in that game, but they had to hold on for dear life. It's not that it's never happened. It's just that when they lose these big games, it's because they come out so, so flat, and it's happened in every single divisional game this year. Every single one. I don't know how to account for that. If they want to do anything in the playoffs, though, they have to fix it. I don't know how they do that, but they're going to have to find a way.
We had Mike Wall on yesterday, the former Packers offensive lineman, and he talked about, you know, you have two choices when you go into a situation where it's a hostile environment. Either, you know, you run the offense you've been running with all the window dressing and all the elements, regardless of how loud it may be and snap count and all this other stuff, or you go in and run more of a vanilla type style to ensure you have no communication breakdowns and so forth. And clearly, they ran the vanilla style because yet again, in this game, after having 9 different players carry the ball last week, you have 2 running backs carry the ball. That was the extent of it. No wide receiver gets a handoff. So we had Tommy Wirtz, our producer, look it up yesterday. The only other 2 games that happened this year were both against the Lions. That was the only time. They've had done it in 3 games, and they've lost all 3. And I do not understand, Peter Bukowski, why something that works all year you bail on when you play the 2 teams in your division.
I think sometimes coaches can outthink themselves. And this is something that, you know, Aaron Rodgers talked about with Matt LaFleur, saying, hey, when something is working, let's go back to it.
Right.
Let's call it again. And like, for whatever reason, I think sometimes, and this was a Mike McCarthy problem at the time, I think, frankly, it's you look at Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, some of the smartest offensive coaches, their intelligence, their football acumen can sometimes be a detriment to them because they think, let's get ahead of what they're going to do and the counter to their counter, and then I've got a counter for that counter. And then sometimes the simplest thing is just, hey, can you do the thing that's been working all year? And that gets lost at times. And it seems like that's what's been happening. I mean, that's a great stat. I love that. I think, unfortunately, it speaks to a lack of confidence in your identity and who you are and what you are, which is so weird, right? Because you watch them over the last month and a half, and you go, this is who they are. Pound the rock, get into play action, and create chunk opportunities. And then they come out here, and they do none of that stuff. None of the things that got them to where they have been now did we see on Sunday. And to your point, we didn't see it against the Lions the same way. That doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. And I think Matt LaFleur is a smart enough coach to get some of this stuff figured out. But they can't say, well, like this is actually, and this goes back to my earlier point, when they needed to get into what, remember the whole like get back calls, this was a big thing in like 2019. They would go into these like Aaron Rodgers, let's go back West Coast 1997 kind of stuff, rather than like, let's do the Ben Johnson thing and we have a special for this, or there's a trick play for this, and like let's do something interesting. No, it's let's revert to the hardest mode possible. I posted some clips on X where I was just like, this is the hard way to play. Why are they doing this? Why aren't they giving themselves some easy opportunities when that's what they've done all year? And it seems to be in Matt LaFleur's head at times, like, okay, let's just prove we can do this hard stuff rather than spamming the easy button all the time, when guess what? The easy button works.
But see, that's the funny thing, is that as Packer fans, Peter Bukowski, we sit here and go, oh yeah, boy, that running game is really good. You're able to use the play action. It all works out. I pointed this out yesterday. I'm going to point it out now to you, because now Jared Goff officially played his second to last game last night. Play action attempts in the National Football League this year, Jared Goff has 192, Mahomes 157, Stafford 156. If we go down a little bit, Sam Darnold 150. Now, I realize Jordan Love missed two and a half games. He has only 108 play action attempts with the ground game the Packers have. To me, that seems criminally low.
I agree, and I've been saying it all year, and I appreciated Matt LaFleur's transparency in saying, one of the reasons why we haven't been doing the under center play action is because we don't want tight ends blocking defensive ends. But then you have to get some of the up to the other interesting stuff. And we've seen them do it. We've seen them go to some of those, like, okay, here comes Jayden Reed orbit motion, and you faked that spinner stuff that they were doing with Malik Willis, and then you get into a play action pass.
Right.
We've seen them do that.
Yep.
Did we see them do it against Minnesota? No,
nope.
We did not. Did we see them try and run Y-Leak against Minnesota? No, he didn't. Everything was hard, and it does make me wonder a little bit. It just makes me wonder a little bit. I don't know if I really believe this even, but it makes me wonder, like, 5%, if the Packers were going, look, let's just try and beat them showing as little as possible.
Yes.
Let's not try and do anything and just try and beat them anyway, because they know, really, ultimately, the game didn't matter, right? If they beat Minnesota,
well,
if the Lions beat the 49ers, which they did, then that game doesn't matter in Week 18 anyway.
Yes, but it's all about, do you want to go to Philly or not? That's why that game matters for the Packers.
Yeah, but the Packers don't care. Players don't care. They think they can beat Philly. They think they should have beat Philly the first time.
Yeah.
And they're probably right.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, this Packers team is obviously much different than it was when they played that game in Brazil. Jordan Love obviously gets hurt in that game and so forth and everything that comes out of it. So let me ask you this. How do you approach this game, rivalry game, against the Bears? That literally means, I mean, you win, Washington loses, then you, obviously you're the sixth seed, so it means something from that aspect, I guess. How do you approach this game? Are you trying to put it on the Bears to build confidence? Are you playing the starters until you have a comfortable lead and then pulling them? How do you go about it?
I think at least the first half you have to play your guys. And you're healthy guys, right? Like, you don't have to push anybody. If you're 100% healthy, play, because you want to stay sharp, and then give them some second half rest. We know that also, you know, it's like in baseball, where there's a difference on your body and your mentality, your brain, the stressful innings versus non-stressful innings, right? And so I think that, you know, even the reps you get are really non-stress reps, because the outcome doesn't really matter. So just go out and put some things on tape, mess around, make Philadelphia or whomever, if it's the Rams, think about something else, put some new stuff on tape, and just make someone prepare for it. And start fast, go up 14-3, And then sit him. Who cares?
See, the problem.
That's what I would want to see.
I'll tell you, there's a problem as a Packer fan that I have. Because now we're going to watch this game. You're going to see Halfway get more aggressive. They're going to have like 6 or 7 sacks of Caleb Williams. And then everybody's going to believe that all of a sudden the Packers pass rush is fixed again. And in reality, they're just playing a bad football team.
Yeah, but if you believe it matters, then it matters if you're the Packers. So if they feel good going into the postseason because they beat up a bad football team, that matters. Because you're coming into play against the best offensive line in the league, probably, in Philadelphia. And so you have to have confidence going into that game. Remember, in week one, the Packers did not really rush Jalen Hurts. They said, we're going to keep you in the pocket. We are not going to let you beat us as a rusher. We're going to make you read out every single play. And guess what he did? He threw 2 interceptions. They forced another fumble. The Packers think that they have the formula to beat this team. I think they'd play less man coverage this time around. We don't know what's happening with Jaire Alexander now or ever, frankly. And so, I think that they don't have to worry that much about the pass rush because that's not the way you beat the Eagles. The way you beat the Eagles is you make Jalen Hurts read everything out in coverage and go from there. You're gonna need your pass rush if you're going to want to beat Detroit or Minnesota. I kind of don't know if you need it against Philadelphia just because that's not the way you beat Jalen Hurts.
You have to stop Saquon Barkley. That's the first
exactly
order
right.
of business in that game. It's the Pack a Day Radio Show. See Sparky Pfeiffer in for Andy Herman. And now I will let Peter Bukowski promote everything that Peter Bukowski is involved in. The show is over in 24 minutes. Go ahead.
Locked On Packers is the Daily Packers podcast. The Leap is the newsletter that you mentioned. I appreciate you mentioning it. And then Locked On Sports Today for all your sports needs. It's the biggest stories in sports. Every day, under 20 minutes, every day delivered to your phone. I think it's a really fun, good show. Go check that out.
There you go. Peter Bukowski. Follow him on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. Thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Happy New Year.
You betcha. Happy New Year. Take care. There he is. It's a Pack a Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. I don't feel any better about that draft after listening to him than I did before the draft. I mean, he wanted Cooper DeJean. I definitely did not want Cooper DeJean. But either way, we both agree that wasn't the pick that should have been made then, and we don't agree that the pick should have been made now at this point. I did notice something, however, while I was talking to Peter Bukowski. We have the Mason Crosby show coming up from 9 to 11. Are you wearing a Colorado Buffs hat over there, Tommy Wirtz?
I am.
Why?
My mother got it for Christmas for me.
Come on.
She did.
Because you're working with Mason? Is that the reason?
100%. Yeah. 100%. She is one of our most loyal listeners. Yeah, absolutely. And this isn't like your typical Colorado Buffs hat. This is like God. Orientation day level Colorado
no,
hat.
No, it's a sweet looking hat.
Yeah.
I'm not bashing the hat. I was just like, why are you wearing a Buffs hat? I thought maybe Mason got it for you for Christmas and sent you a hat to wear. It said it's a prerequisite. If you're going to produce my show, you got to wear my hat.
No, she did also get me a Mason Crosby jersey.
Oh.
I have not given him that luxury of me wearing that when I work with him yet. I don't know when I'm going to do that, but I might do it on a day I don't work with him and be like, dude, I just wore it to work, man. And but I'm not ready for that yet.
You should be honored to wear a Mason Crosby jersey.
I am, but I also have to be honored as the only person that consistently trolls him on a day-to-day basis. So
it's unfortunate for Mason. All right, we'll take a quick time out. We'll come back on the other side. Has this Packers team progressed the way that you thought it would when the season ended last year? Has this team gotten better as much as you thought it would when the season ended last year? That's the question. The Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line. Let's go. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at The Fan Milwaukee.